Well, good afternoon and welcome. This is Mike Harris broadcasting on www.veteranstoday.com as well as www.freedomslips.com, Studio B Revolution Radio. Today is Tuesday, January 12th, 2015. And we've got a guest scheduled who is on the line with us now, but I'm gonna keep him in the back for a minute because I've got some other news that I think is important enough to open the show. And really, this news is the inspiration for the topic of the show today. But let me tell you what's going on. Earlier today, I had a nice conversation with Ben Fulford. I managed to catch him at 5 a.m. Japan time, and he was heading out the door to go to an interview at a TV studio. So he and I got to talk for a few minutes. And let me share what Ben told me. The first thing he said is that these rumors about the shipping around the planet being stopped, he said that they're absolutely true, that he has been in contact with four or five different shipping companies, primarily Chinese-based, but four or five different shipping companies, and nothing is moving. They are told to stand down and not do anything until the dollar reset occurs. Okay, now that's major. That in and of itself is a major issue. The next question that was asked: well, isn't the Khazarian mafia going to lob some nukes? Do something, a false flag, Samson option, something or another, in order to make them do this? And the reply was, they can lob all the nukes they want, but it's not going to make the ships move. And so, you know, it looks like they've got a peaceful resolution to this Khazarian mafia problem that we have, that's really been killing the planet, killing the world. That's one issue. That's one thing right there. Now, the next thing that Ben told me was that Japan, on January 16th, is going to announce that they're joining the Asian Infrastructure Investment Bank, the AIIB. This is a major, major deal because this is another nail in the coffin of the Rothschild banking monopoly that has been strangling, the whole planet. It's responsible for the death of millions and millions of people. And so that's one issue that's going on. So keep your eyes open for that. We'll know soon enough. Today's the 12th. We only have to wait 4 days to find out if that's going to happen or not. Now, the other thing is that the derivatives issues that are coming due, they're all due to reset on January 15th. A year ago, oil was at $1.05 a gallon. And folks, I'm a member of something called the Turnaround Management Association. And what it is, it's guys who have special skill sets to take troubled companies and come in to them and, do a turnaround in order to make them profitable again or to make them functional again so they make money. Today, I just got an invitation from them. It's a 2016 TMA, Turnaround Management Association Distressed Investing Conference, scheduled for February 17th through 19th at the Four Seasons Hotel in Las Vegas. The topic is, does anyone know the impact of oil prices at $30 per barrel will have on the global economy? And they brought a speaker in, a guy named Tom Petrie, CEO of Petrie Partners, the newly announced keynote speaker. So anyway, it's pretty obvious that oil and gas is going through some fluctuations here. And I want to point out to people that it was Preston James and I, a year ago this week, put out the white paper, which was directed at President Vladimir Putin of Russia, that in response to Saudi Arabia trying to bomb the oil prices and harm Russian productivity by depriving them of liquidity, that he should drop the oil prices down to the $15 to $20 price range in order to break the backs of the Western banks because of their derivative exposure. Okay, that's a major issue there. You know, Preston and I, we called that one a year ago, and here it is, the Turnaround Management Association. Their February conference is all about that. And then today, we have an article in Russia today where the Royal Bank of Scotland is telling everyone to sell everything. Says the Royal Bank of Scotland is recommending its clients prepare for a cataclysmic year as major stock markets could drop by 20% and Brent oil could hit $16 a barrel. I mean, folks, it doesn't get any more accurate than that. I mean, Preston and I nailed this one a year ago. A year ago, this week is when we put that article up. It's on Veterans Today. Go look at it.
Mike, you broke up. Can you repeat that?
Mike, we lost you. You have no audio and sound.
Am I able to come through?
Yeah, you're fine, Rick. Mike, they cut him off or something's going on. We cannot hear you at all, Mike. All righty then. Yeah, go ahead and talk, Rick, while I fix him.
I'm the secret guest. This is Dr. Richard Allen Miller. And I was talking to Mike earlier. Once we get him back on, we'll talk about grid-down communications. That's what he wanted me to talk about this morning. So I'm available to do that at any time. If you have questions in the audience about anything at all while we're trying to figure out what happened to Mike, feel free to call the soundboards and just give me your questions and things. Where do I begin with grid down? Mike wanted to talk about that. And Matt Stein and I are doing urban survival skill workshops. They're usually two-day events at the various RK gun shows. That's Randy Curley's gun shows around the country. We did one last couple months back. I think it was in Kansas City. That we'll probably open with one in Wichita or Asheville. I don't know. They're pretty good size. The one we were at in Kansas City had possibly 3,000 people, and I saw a 3D printer actually cooking out AK-47s, and you could buy the unit to make as many rifles as you wanted. I've never seen anything like that. Matt and I are going to do a three-day urban survival skill workshop down in the city of Hollywood, and it's sponsored by the city, and on Friday will be an open to the public. They're expecting several thousand people at that, I think, at the Hollywood Forever Cemetery. Let me know once you get Mike, and he's still coasting. Okay, he's hung up now, and we'll try to get him back on, I guess. Call failed. Well, welcome to the world of I Spy.
Okay, are we back?
Yes, good. Okay, it's yours, Mike. Sorry.
Hello, Brett. Can you hear me?
Hello.
Can anybody hear
me? Yeah, Mike, we can hear you. Can you hear us now?
Yeah, I can hear you now. It looks like we had a little interference there. The internet kind of went on the fritz there, just as I was telling people about some really critical things. Where did I cut off at? Can you tell me, Rick or Brett?
You were talking about the oil and banking.
Yeah, and with the $16 a barrel and what that's going to do with your predictions being dead on.
Anyway, the point here being is that with oil at $16 a barrel, the financial advisors are advising everyone to get out of your equities and get into cash, okay? If you get out of equities and get into cash, your cash, you're not going to put it under your mattress. There's going to be too much of it. So, you know, what do you do? You leave it in the bank. Well, the banks are going to do bail-ins because they need your money to stay afloat because they mishandled the entire economy of the planet. They screwed it up. Okay, they broke the machine, and they don't know how to fix it. That's the bottom line here. And let me tell you about a couple of anomalies that I've noticed with two of the major banks in the U.S., Wells Fargo and Chase Manhattan. Normally, a wire transfer, if it gets in before 2 o'clock in the afternoon, it's there the next day. I've been waiting on two wire transfers, one from December 7th and the other one from December 24th to hit an account, and they haven't yet hit. So these are larger wires. It's not some, you know, $250 wire or something like that. It's significant. At least for me, it's significant. And they're not arriving. I've got confirmation that they've been sent. I've got scans of the order from the originating bank to the beneficiary bank with the dates that we sent. But the banks aren't passing the money along. They're not letting people have their own money. That's what's going on right now, folks. So this is a dire time. We've all been kind of preparing for this for a long time. You know, I thought this was going to happen in 2009, 10, 11. I was wrong. They managed to kick the can down the road another 5 years. But I think we might be close. And, you know, if you don't have it yet, if you haven't put, you know, food aside, if you don't have, you know, 4 weeks supply of canned goods in your pantry, then shame on you. And there's still time. You better get out there and get it. The other thing is if you have, I don't care how much or how little money you have in the bank, go get it. Take it out. Take out as much as they'll let you take you out out in a day, and go back every day until they don't give you money anymore, because that's what's coming. Get your money out now. Because having some liquidity on you, if this all comes to pass, and you don't have much time, January 15th is this Friday. January 16th is when Japan is going to join the AAIB. That following Monday, I don't want to be a gloom and doom guy. I don't want to sell panic, but just be prudent. Go out and get, if I don't know if you got $200 in your account or $10,000 in your account, but go out and get yourself some walking around money. So that if you have it on your possession, you don't have to go to the ATM machine, which isn't working anymore. I mean, I'm just saying, be a little prudent. I mean, fill up your gas tank. Do it today. You know, top the thing off. I don't care if you still have 3/4 of a tank. Fill up your gas tank. Do things like this. And really, that's the topic of the show today. And, you know, that's why I invited Rick Miller on, because we wanted to talk about communications. You know, what if the grid goes down? What if the economic system stops? What do people have to be prepared for? And these data points, you know, I mean, the fact that the Chinese aren't shipping, that they have stood down their entire merchant fleet, that is a significant development, people. That is significant. I got this confirmed. Like I said, I was on the phone with Ben Fulford today. I take Ben at face value. I know he is an honest broker. He doesn't pass on BS. He's a good guy. And I would love to have access to the top executives at Hanjin Shipping or something and say, hey, guys, what do you see? They wouldn't take the call, of course. But I just think it's interesting that all of these things are coming down to a confluence now. And like I said, I don't want to spread panic. That's not the purpose. The purpose here is to share information. And if this is it, I really do. I hope people have at least, 3-4 weeks of food in the pantry. I hope you've got some water stored, have some cash put away, got your gas tank filled up. I hope you've taken at least some remedial precautions as to what to do if we've got a time that takes a couple weeks or a month or so to sort itself out, some confusion here. And that's why I have Rick Miller on, because that's what we want to talk about today is what are the keys to living off the grid. So with that saying, let me introduce our guest today, Dr. Richard Allen Miller, who's primarily a physicist, but he's also a pretty savvy guy on a lot of other topics as well. So Rick, welcome to the show. Glad to have you.
Thank you, Mike, and thank you very much for those patches. You have no idea how it changed my life. Thank you.
let's tell people what you're talking about here, because they don't know what the patches are.
My girlfriend is, I'm just trying to court it, and her father collects badges from various police stations, and
military.
I gave him some seal patches and he ho-hummed me and sort of kind of. But when you got those command center ones, man, got his attention. It was very cool. Thank you, Michael.
Well, Rick, you're most welcome. And, you know, I have to pass the buck because I've got friends in high places. Let's just say that.
Yeah, yeah. Steak tartare tonight, man. Okay. Well, in terms of what is about to happen, everybody right now, after hearing me speak this moment, should have a minimum of 3 days of water in storage on hand tomorrow morning for everyone in their family, with a backup plan on how to replace it the first day. FEMA is going to be completely inequipped to deal with New York City or Los Angeles if should the municipalities fail and not be able to deliver water. Petria Patrick, a good friend of ours out of Hollywood, did a couple of videos with Matt Stein, my partner. And it was basically about the Santa Barbara takedown on the grid collapse done by some naughty military breaking the law, but doing it in a way that nobody got hurt to show how fragile our system is. And hopefully these movies will, be shown alongside why everybody now needs to start thinking about a different kind of lifestyle. It's not even going to be just about money. You know, if the pharmaceutical houses collapse, or there's some way or a spike where you can't get your just-in-time delivery for heart medicine, you're going to be kind of in a sad shape if you're on meds. And so that's why we're talking about herbal pharmacies. And your topic today was on communication. What do you do if you all of a sudden you don't have cell phones and your wife's at the other end of town? Who comes to home and how?
No, that's the point. And not only that, but how do we as a people communicate across the continent, the United States? I mean, the U.S. is, what, 3,000, 3,500 miles from coast to coast?
I don't get smoke signals like Matt Stein.
Yeah, I know. Matt's being funny. That's cute.
Know.
And you know what?
It's ham radio, just like in The Terminator, with radio-free Jefferson State. And let me tell you, it'll be just like in the movies. There will be individual hams that have a booster and can reach out a little bit, and it will be networking, a different kind of an internet networking, just like in the movie Terminator with John Connor.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to play with power. How are you going to power it up? Well, the way they did it, what was it in Road Warrior? They use fart power, a bunch of figs and methane. But alcohol seems, from my agronomy side, possibly the best thing to happen. And the highest biomass yielder that I've come up to is comfrey. And you get 100 tons of wet biomass per acre. And the only thing that takes it out is hogs and the water. So there's Bloom and his stills making squeeze. And we'll do it with comfrey probably because of the lot of biomass. They did Jerusalem artichoke. There's a whole bunch of other things, jojoba, other kinds of beans trying to create alcohol. Oh, it all works. In fact, even except for the new ignition engines, all automobiles run smoother on alcohol. And you can
but there's a problem there, and the problem has to do with seals. Alcohol degrades the seals as a function of time, but at least you'll be able to get around for the first few weeks, months, whatever, if you have alcohol.
You talk about seals deteriorating, and Fukushima comes to mind with Lorraine Lamoureux that said that now the aircraft that's coming from Asia to LAX, the washers are deteriorating and the metal is fatiguing and they're having more accidents because of Fukushima and the ionizing radiation on the aircraft. When they do it at LAX now, they're now having to move those aircraft out of visual with customers, and they move them out of sight because DEQ's all over it. Now, that's what's happening.
Well, yeah. Tell us a little more about that. What specifically is going on? So, slow down and give us a little.
that ionizing radiation in the stratosphere. We now have another Van Allen belt kind of thing going on. It's dropping down. All you have to do is go to the Nuclear Emergency Tracking Center, NETC.com, and get a minute update. Japan is lit up like a candle right now. And if you look at what's going on in Idaho, Idaho is hot. RADCON 4 level alerts. It's coming washing down with the atmosphere. When it snows and rains, it brings some of that particulate down. That means that from now on, since you've heard my voice, you now need to start rethinking hygiene in terms of where you leave your shoes and where you put your hat from being outside. It's going to be a whole new world.
Okay.
So water, the communications thing is the one you wanted to do. These are what Matt and I are going to do, are these, you know, prepping you on basics. I've given you, if you want, that PowerPoint for your website. That just runs down the simple stuff. You have sections of things, including a go bag. Katrina, when Katrina happened, you have 10 minutes to go into your house, get whatever you think you need, and have to carry it down the road 6 miles. How's that going to work, Mike?
And well, that's why I've got a bicycle, Rick. I've got a bicycle, I got a backpack, and I got a firearm because I can make it down the road 6 miles pretty quick on a bike compared to I can make 6 miles in less than 30 minutes.
It's uphill that you want to go. As far as my calculations are, man, it's going to flood. And depending on where you're living, every habitat is different. We're doing these sustainable lifeboats. Lifeboats with oars so that you can weather it. And now I'm starting to encounter disasters, potentials that I have no way to plan for it. Like never. How do you plan for a 45% pole shift that's due? How does that work? Or the desalinization of the sea for a day after tomorrow scenario. Right now, Iceland is melting those icebergs, like the actual level of the sea is 2 degrees above when the Jurassic period ended. We're going to have a superstorm, and we're starting to see anomalies right now as the ocean currents need to reboot.
Well, the Gulf Stream in the Atlantic, didn't that shut down?
After the
BP oil disaster in the Gulf of Mexico?
Somehow they're calling it a super El Nino. Good luck. And oceans in the atmosphere that are moving water around up in the upper atmosphere that now have a bunch of particulate from Fukushima.
Well, Rick, how long can the particulate from Fukushima stay airborne? I mean, that's really the question. Won't it eventually wash out?
And the pulses from the sun. I don't have that technology. I can estimate it. I have friends at JPL that are trying to freak out, trying to calculate it. It can stay there for some time.
All right, folks, we'll be right back in a couple minutes more with Dr. Richard Allen Miller right after this break. And I'll recap the top news here in a few minutes because this is important stuff to know. Well, good afternoon and welcome back. This is Mike Harris broadcasting on VeteransToday.com as well as broadcasting on www.freedomslips.com, Studio B, Revolution Radio. Today is Tuesday, January 12th, 2015. And the topic, I'll go to the top news things again today as well, because this is where it's really at. Like I said, I spoke to Ben Fulford earlier today, and he shared some information with me, and that is that these rumors, these stories we've been seeing about shipping, global shipping being down at record lows. He says it's absolutely true that the Chinese have issued stand-down orders to their entire merchant fleet, that they're not to go anywhere, they're not to ship anything, they're not to carry anything anywhere until this dollar reset happens. And if the dollar reset happens, it's probably going to mean a major devaluation of the U.S. dollar. It's really not the U.S. dollar, it's really the Federal Reserve note, but you know, we call it the dollar in this country because they tell us to call it the dollar, and so we call it a dollar. But there's probably going to be a major revaluation of that, and it's not going to be up, it's going to be down, because the Federal Reserve has been printing so many of them. I'm sure many of you saw the story that was in the news a couple days ago about this guy Fisher, who was one of the governors on the Federal Reserve, where he said that they were front running it to give the illusion of prosperity. Okay, the illusion. So you'll look for the stock market to lose at least 20%. My guess is probably going to be closer to 50 or 60%. That's just my guess. But, you know, brace yourself, because these are the economic – these Khazarian mafia criminals have imposed upon the American people, and they've been – this has been their handiwork since at least 1963.
All right, you're back on. Go ahead.
Okay, the thing that people – we just lost the studio, folks. We're being actively interfered with here today. I don't like to say that often, but this is beyond a coincidence that these sensitive topics are being discussed. But the issue with the oil – is oil really a fossil fuel? No. There's new theories about this, that oil is actually a replenishing natural element within the earth itself, and so that they aren't running out. But the bottom line is that the Russians, they followed the advice that Preston and I gave them, and they drove the price down in order to break the backs of the Western banks, who have quadrillions of derivatives exposure, because they gambled and they lost. Okay, they have mismanaged the global economy. They're not fit to run it, and we need a regime change, not just in the – well, especially in the U.S., but we need a regime change in the global financial system as to how it's run. The other thing that Fulford told me was that Japan is going to announce on January 16th that Japan will be joining the Asia Infrastructure and Investment Bank, which really should be the death blow to the SWIFT system and the monopoly that the Rothschild banking system has had over this planet for the last hundred something, the last few hundreds of years. Let's just say that. But anyway, just wanted to give those top of the news hour things to you, because these are really critical. And everybody, be prepared. I mean, go out and go shopping. I mean, just throw a, you know, go out and pick up a 5-pound, a 10-pound bag of rice. Throw it in your shopping cart. Pick up something extra, you know, because you're going to want it. Whether this happens or not, doesn't matter. You're still going to use it. You're still going to eat it. And it's nice to have a surplus in your house at all times. Anyway, let's welcome back Dr. Rick Miller. Rick, welcome back, sir.
Hi there. Thank you. What you're talking about is pretty serious. You know, it's like China had a stock exchange failure that was like our 20s. And nobody's reporting it, or I didn't do it. Now, that's because I also don't watch TV. But I don't hear any of it on the internet much yet.
Well, no, you don't, and you won't, because no. They want the American people they want to control the perceptions and the outlooks of the American people. So if as George H.W. Bush said, and I'll quote him, if the American people knew what we'd done to this country, they'd chase us down the street and hang us from the lamppost.
There's
still time, and there's a number of them out there who deserve this type of treatment, and you know it. I don't know what the event is going to be, but eventually the American people, let's just say that the people of North America, the people of the world, are going to have to rise up and throw off this financial system, because it's designed so that every generation. More and more wealth is consolidated in fewer hands. And, you know, there's an article that I'm working on right now. I've got a collaborator on. I won't mention her name. But it's about the mainstream media and how in the 1980s there was 150 independent networks in this country. And, you know, you could go from one venue. You could go from Kansas City, Missouri to, Baltimore and get different programming. Some of it was the same. There were still national networks. But you had all these small local networks. And all that's gone. All that's been wiped out, and now it's all controlled by six companies and fewer than 200 executives that that dictate what everyone watches on television and every venue throughout the whole country. I mean, it's happened that way in everything this country does. I don't care if you're in Oregon or in Arizona or in New York or in Florida. Wherever you go, you can find a Home Depot. You can find a Best Buy. You can find an Olive Garden. You just go down the list of the big box and production stores. They're all out there. They have taken they've taken the diversity of the country, the commercial diversity of the country, and they've destroyed it and consolidated into a series of cartels that control every sector. Now that gives them tremendous strength. However, when the bottom falls out, their whole house of cards comes down, folks. So prepare yourself for that, because that's coming. Anyway, Rick,
yes.
Comments.
Well, I'm concerned. Somebody's been sending me video messages that would cause me to have to put you on pause to hear them, and I haven't done that. That isn't you guys doing it. Is that correct?
No, that's not us doing it.
Okay. Thanks. So, and I thought, so I put them in a special little cage. Algorithms. We had the end of days. It's all coming down. Basically, I think what's going to happen is NASA actually predicted all of this almost to the moment with 2016 through 2025 and their future weapons of war, war after next. And that document actually has some very interesting concepts in it. For example, the problem is the Earth is most like something else is going on. Now somebody is trying to send me things. Isn't this, oh my goodness, there is another one. Revolution Radio. You're not Revolution, are you, Mike?
Yeah, we are.
Okay.
But we're on the air.
Yeah.
I believe, yeah, we're here, we're live, we're all good.
Well, something really is weird happening, because I now have 7 attempts to get at me.
Well, you know what, Rick? Ignore them. And just stay focused, stay on topic, and that's what we do.
Here we are at the end of days, and it will start with the money where everybody doesn't have it. There's a phone. You go ahead and answer that. They're trying to stop me too. Then, basically, I think the Earth is going to end this nonsense immediately. That will be including sunspots and grid collapse. That's what's going to happen first.
So, Rick, are you predicting another Carrington-type event?
Well, we've already had 3 of them off the sun in the last few years that were even bigger than Carrington events.
But they were misdirected. They didn't come.
Right. Thank you, Lord. That's how that works. We're due. And there is something perturbating. Why is that phone still being talked to? I would like to know who that is that's calling. Oh, my daughter. Oh, sorry. You gotta listen, my daughter. Oh my gosh.
You're off the hook on that one, Rick. So you're off the hook on that one. I don't think she's part of the plot to silence
you. No, I don't think so either. Isn't it interesting how synchronicity seemingly sets up its own false flags? And how imagination is reality and the actual vector that's creating our aliens and apocalypse. Actually, if you'll study this even further, for about 400 years in the Rothschilds and how that all started down with the Dulles brothers right up into our present situation, I think the Earth is going to localize the infection. It does it every epochs kind of thing. And I think we're at a stage where there's going to be a variety of smorgasbord. It's going to include the sunspots and grid collapse, of course. Fukushima is a possible extinction event. NASA says there will be no human on Earth by 2050. That's in that document. And I've found this particular document to be very accurate in terms of transhumanism and the Avatar Project. So,
well, Rick, I know the document you're talking about. You shared it with me a year or two ago.
Yeah.
I've still got a copy of it on my hard drive here. And there are some fascinating things.
Yeah, with Cliff High doing his webbots and the concepts of time travel and timelines, and there's a war going on. Yeah. I don't know how to explain this in a, I can do it in physics if you'd like, but I think geoengineering, like they did a brand new geoengineering bioweapon in Reedsport 2 months ago, where they went in and they dusted it with lithium to see if they could lock down a small city that might be in unrest because you don't have water. Now, that's, and it worked. So that was an aerosol. That happened. And then the Inuit are talking about a pulse shift. They're like, clouds, the stars are in the wrong place. Okay, that's going to be significant because Bert Bolin of University of Stockholm, Sweden, the Nobel Prize winner in geoastrophysics, is predicting another major pole shift. And if you believe in Nibiru, who knows, you know, that object that has been just recently discussed by NASA out past the Oort cloud that's coming in on a, off elliptic and causing perturbations and everything, including our sun. That's why we have all the earthquakes and the weather changes going on. And what we're about to experience absolutely must happen is a day after tomorrow, where the frost line is going to go down probably 10 feet between you and the surface of the earth, probably 2 weeks. And that is that movie, The Day After Tomorrow, is semi-active.
Well, let's talk about that, because, you know, if you go to Siberia and you dig up the flash frozen remains of, you know, the mammoths and the mastodons, and they've still got green grass in their bellies.
Yeah.
And these things were frozen quickly. They were flash frozen. This didn't happen over a day. It didn't happen over a week. I mean, it happened now. I mean, boom. Suddenly they were at very, very, very cold temperatures to where they froze nearly instantly. And we're talking animals with great body mass. That would take a long time.
I just sent you a link called Surviving in the Siberian Wilderness for 70 Years. Speaking of Siberia.
Yeah, I read that earlier.
A resource for your fans out there, because that woman, it takes a mindset of behavior to be able to not have access to a library or social interaction, words. And if you want to communicate to the world, you're going to need some kind of receiver. I can give you a couple lists, Matt, in that document I sent to you. I had a couple recommendations before you even go to the CB level of listening and then talking back. You know, you can listen with just a, you know, ham radio. And getting permits for ham radios are simple. Breaker 17, come on. Now, that's where you can start in being able to talk to your neighborhood. My neighborhood is creepy people, and they're putting another bunker in here. And there's all kind next door, another bunker. So something, you know, you were talking about the armed camps with barbed wire here in Oregon. Well, there's one going in next door to me. What does that mean, Michael? I don't know.
What does it mean, Rick? I've been to your house. And right out your driveway, your neighbor has a very, very unique statue. And it's a dragon devouring.
The one across the street, not the bunker guy, but the guy.
The one across the street has unique. He's got a statue of what, a dragon eating a snake?
Yeah.
It's really unusual. It caught my eye. I said, what is the significance of this?
Yeah, his father owned this whole hill here. And over the last 100 years, is sectioned down into just a bunch of criminals growing pot or something. I don't know. It's cool. It's beautiful here. Birds. Right now I have more than 50 birds on my ledge, just eating bird seed right this minute. It's unbelievable. There's pecking orders. Different sized birds come in and they decide who's going to scatter the seed so no bird can get to it. It's weird. You're going to have to prepare for something now, and you should start with water and how to replace water. And so we have a project that I'm doing at Pacifica Gardens in Williams, Oregon, called the Caterpillar. Originally, that was a science fair bus that went around to grade schools teaching entomology. And we're cleaning it of the bugs, and we're going to put water testing kits in there. That's what kids learn how to do right out of the gate. They go to the sandbox, and they like to grow things. And so we're going to start with water testing on determining whether they can, if the water's drinkable or not. And if it's not, what's wrong with it? Can it be fixed? That's what we're going to do with children. And then those children are going to mentor younger children and adults. That's how it's going to play. Because
Rick, let me ask you a question, because, you know, there are some very simple things you can do. Let's say you've got, remember those tall cans of V8 tomato juice comes in?
Yes.
You can build yourself a simple sand and charcoal filter out of one of those.
Absolutely, working with the charcoal from your campfire. There's other kinds of ways of activating it. And then you can start getting into pyrolytic clays and other kinds of things that will really resonate in there and pull certain things out. The thing is, chlorine is your friend. And that's, you know, takes care of typhus. And some dead animal that decided to commit suicide in the stream above where you're drinking. You know, salmonella has got to be the worst way to die. And I can't imagine. I've seen strays that had been eating dead fish, and then they started to rot. It's salmonella is a terrible, terrible thing for a wild animal to get.
And a lot of them have it. I mean, you look at most of your reptilian species, you know, the you know, alligators, snakes, lizards, they all carry salmonella on their skin. It's on there.
Yeah. Just imagine that. That's your Anunnaki or your reticulans or reptilians or whatever. I don't know, man. What I do know is that I don't know what rhesus negative is. And I don't know where that came from. And that genome in our blood is alien. And so, you know, from a physics point of view, the war for Earth could be going on inside each of us as a metaphor. That's the God.
Not even so much as a metaphor, but as an actuality that's been going on for a very long time. And, you know, that's one of the things about the time we live in here, is that all of these truths that have been suppressed are going to be coming to the surface.
And, bloodlines, you know, I mean, the Habsburgs and Moravians and the bloodlines of Christ and that fourth genome with Rothschilds and what is it, the Comte Saint Germain. Wonder what it all really means, Mary Magdalene. Holy Blood, Holy Grail was brought up this morning in a discussion. That's a book that might give you more insight than others. My ex-wife, Iona, has written on the bloodlines of Europe for her work with other agencies. And you might find Iona Miller's works on blood types and that kind of thing interesting. There are some other things that I'm starting to realize in bacteria in your gut, because that gut is your doorway between your future, your present, and your past. It's the enteric nervous system. It's where instincts come from. Not heart center or brain. Your brain is there to make everything you believe true. So it's not really your friend as much as it's a tool to be used with discipline.
Let's back up again, because, you know, what most people don't realize is that as far as neurotransmitters goes, everybody thinks that serotonin originates in the brain. It doesn't. Serotonin originates in the gut.
Yeah.
And you have more of your body serotonin is in your gut than is ever in your brain. And that's something that people aren't aware of. And so, you know, expand on that a bit, would you?
Well, you mean serotonin, noradrenaline. Yeah, all that fight-flight thing. That's the primary circuit, of which there are a hierarchy of circuits in the way information is laid down into or out of itself in what we would call resolution. For example, if you have a physical pain thing, that's your alcohol neurotransmitter or alcohol-like neurotransmitter. It's got a similar geometry. That geometry determines how information folds down into or out of itself in what you would call memes. And emotional would be the next plane above it. In other words, how you felt about the whole situation. Now, the feeling part is where the gut comes in as a second level of brain in the non-local system, where you're aware, but on an instinctual level, which is basically closer to purpose than where your consciousness is. And because of that, that was the first protocol that we were training sales in the early 70s, how to work off instinct rather than thinking and logic. Logic will get you killed. Honestly, it will. I'm a physicist, and I'm saying it. And so there it is.
You got me laughing, Rick. You got me laughing.
Well, magic is basically advanced physics with a mystery skull. And really, I hate this when people bother me like that. And I'm just
Rick, we've got our next break. We have our next break. So we'll be right back in a couple of minutes. More with Dr. Richard Allen Miller. Stick around, folks. We'll be right back. Well, good evening and welcome back. This is Mike Harris broadcasting on www.veteranstoday.com as well as www.freedomslips.com, Studio B, Revolution Radio. Today is Tuesday, January 12th, 2015, and my guest today is Dr. Richard Allen Miller. So, Rick, welcome back, sir.
Okay, so it is. Hi.
It's you. Hi.
Well, I didn't know if it was 1 or 2 hours, Mike. I didn't know.
Okay. Well, yeah.
Okay, I could do another hour. I'm good. You're
allowed to bail anytime. And hey, you're not getting paid for this. You know what the heck?
No. I just had a thought that like something else weird is going on, and I want to know why. It's interesting. I'll check these out later.
Rick, let me tell you what's going on here. The entire structure, the power structure, the illusion of the power structure, let me restate it, is very fragile right now.
Yeah.
And, like I said, I'm working with an associate to put out a story about the mainstream media and how the audience has shrunk, how the diversity of programming has disappeared. How this is controlled by 200 executives decide everything everybody thinks and sees and reads and writes on your magazines, your movie theaters, your television, all of it. It's all controlled by the decision process is made by fewer than 200 people. That controls a market that affects billions, at least 330 billion in this country, plus another 2 billion, 3 billion people.
9 billion, just call it like it is, 9 billion people.
Yeah,
and that's the problem. There's too many of us for them to control, and that's why there is a prime directive to reduce the population.
So, with these other things happening, with this Nibiru coming, we're entering the galactic plane. Forecast a bit for us. I mean, give us your best guess of what we have to expect going forward over the next 3 months, year, 5 years, 50 years, and 500 or 1,000 years.
Okay, yeah. The way I would say the NASA document, which you could make available to your listeners, lays it out. By 2025, everything is in total chaos. That means it starts now. We have 9 years of crash and burn with pandemics, oceans, strange weather, rebooting. Grants Pass this year had 12 different weeks of triple digits. And I have lived here 30 years and have only seen a few years where there were maybe 2 or 3 weeks of triple digits separated. This year we had 12. The wells where I live are pulling sand. I'm in Southern Oregon, which snowpack today is for the first time in 4 years normal. They're skiing on Mount Ashland, but it's raining right now, and if it continues and gets cold, we'll have a flood. We almost had one a couple of weeks ago. The river came up halfway. I don't know if you noticed that there was about a 2-hour period where it was already halfway up under the bridge. And it was when all that snow happened, and then it melted.
Yep.
So Zero radar. And it's not the jets, the Gulf Stream. That's gone. That means the oceans have to reboot themselves. They will. And what will happen is there will be some coastal landmass changes when that occurs. And I would not be living in California, especially Los Angeles, as the craziest place. How where's your food going to come from?
Well, with the California Central Valley, and they've been deliberately creating a drought there. They've been diverting the water for agriculture to take care of, you know, some delta, you know, smelt or something. I don't know.
Well, and actually, they never had their own water. They were getting it from Arizona and Colorado, and nice dry. That's all.
Well, that's true. That's all Colorado River water that was leased to California. California does not own it.
Dam that may burst this year as a prediction. That might, with the weather that's happening right now, Hoover Dam is not designed right, and that could be big trouble in Little China. Now, that's one thing that I see that I'm concerned about. The fish off the coast, Pacific coast, now needs a Geiger counter. That's it. Any other matter, I'm skeptical. Don't believe it. And if it isn't Fukushima, it's the Columbia River with Hanford leaking into the Columbia River. If that's what caused all that high levels in the tuna down out of San Francisco, came out of the Columbia River. Every single nuclear power plant that was made by General Electric, Daiichi, like background 20 years ago, they're all leaking. And they're having incidents everywhere. You can watch it as it plays out.
No, Rick, this is part of the plan, because you look at the documents that have come out now and said that there was never any need to generate what we call nuclear waste, that it could be continually reprocessed and never generate an ounce of waste. But GE made a business decision because there's money in waste management.
Well, that's why your mafias all run waste management. Go figure, including the Yakuza for Japan. And the ones in Europe, Germany mostly, collected all that nuclear waste and buried it in Africa 20 years ago, and is why now Africa is aberrant with diseases and all kinds of creepy. I'm concerned, and I think what's going to happen is there's going to be a stop to this nonsense, but it's going to be from Gaia, you know, the Michael Rising and the soil designing had enough. Actually, there are life forms that are thriving at Fukushima and
it's in Ukraine. Actually, I've been near that site. They wouldn't let me get any closer than I could. But
yeah, living and thriving right there is black slime mold. You know, the kinds of premortal things that we talked about earlier coming out of Galactic Center.
Yep.
And what we've done is we've created some new life forms that are kind of creepy. And we're mixing it with stratosphere stuff, bacteria, in terms of the geoengineering. And they're practicing so they can screw up Mars. I don't know how this plays out, but there's enough of us right now listening. It used to be 10% that would cause the change. Now it's down to 2%. And I predict that the first thing you're going to see is that Walmart stores are going to close their doors. Winco's will open up across the street, kind of thing.
Why do you make that statement? What are you predicating that statement on? And then I'll give you some backstory. But go ahead and tell me China, why you make the...
China is no longer the cheapest source in the world anymore. And Walmart is no longer cheap. When I was in Kansas City that weekend, they closed 12 Walmarts in Kansas City. They closed them. That was a big news thing. And meanwhile, I'm watching all the geoengineering being laid down out of Chicago. That place is a powder keg ready to explode. And when you start to add on the Madrid fault line, I would not be living anywhere near a TVA. And the Tennessee Valley Authority.
That's something, because I grew up in Missouri. I grew up right on the Mississippi River in a bedroom community outside of St. Louis. Missouri. And I remember as a kid, we had a trembler come through one night. We were watching TV, and it damn near knocked the TV off the stand. It was so violent.
Yeah,
and well, that's why I came up.
Beginning.
And the thing that is, yeah. Well, no, listen, let me finish. Let me finish.
Oh, okay, sorry.
Let me finish. And you know, there people I knew people who were alive when the last New Madrid fault happened when I was a kid, and they told me that the Mississippi River flowed backwards. It flowed upstream because it rose up so fast, and then it came back down, and a series of lakes were created with what used to be the channel for the Mississippi River, and it moved because of that event. And it's just fascinating. And that wasn't even considered a major one.
Yeah. Well, it's going to all happen, Mike. And I don't know when. I'm going to say that you're going to see the economic, as you're talking about, shortly this year. Absolutely. It's already happening with Walmart in China. So, and Putin is interesting in that it's Edgar Casey that says it's going to be the bear that saves the world. Putin got a standing ovation at the United Nations when he got up and said, if you want to live in Russia and be a Russian, you speak Russian. He got a 5-minute standing ovation at the United Nations.
Well, you know, that's something that I think every country should do. Every country has the right that, hey, if you want to come to America and be an American, you got to speak English.
Well, and, these people in now are allowing Asians and other minorities coming in without proper immunization. And what we've got now is measles and other kinds of foreign creepy in our Midwest. And it's making people sick. It hit the news. It's out there. It's happening. And there's all kinds of wars. And all of that was laid out exactly as NASA said it was going to work this way.
Well, you know, it is. And, you know, that's something that we didn't anticipate with this global commercialism traveling. I mean, back in the old days when it took 90 days to cross the Atlantic, to now when it takes, you can be across the Atlantic in 8 hours.
Which time zone would you like to be in? Because right now I'm starting to understand how the future is a secondary wave manipulating the present and causing changes in the primary wave, which is our past. That was a talk I did with Solaris Blue Raven a couple days ago.
Why don't you go ahead and share that with our listeners, because this is very interesting. You and I have had this discussion privately.
Time travel is not what people think it is. And what's happening for me is that 45 years ago, I used my feedback to learn how to control autonomic functions, brainwave patterns, heart rate, pulse risk ratio, how to do polygraphs, how to do neurolinguistics. That was 45 years ago. I learned how to do altered states of consciousness by breath control, like Tai Chi, and being able to experience martial arts in slow motion, even though I became a super soldier, paranormal. Today, I'm doing the same thing on a higher level with neurotransmitters. Now, the chill, that just went down your back. You all can do it with your mind's eye, just at will. Now, if you learn how to manipulate that with precision, awareness, that is an important song in your body. By the way, the chill has N-hyphen, dimethyltryptamine. It's a similar thing to ayahuasca or some of the other things that kids are doing, because most drugs are toxins. And what happens, like with lysergic acid diethylamide, it's broken down when it goes into the body. It's broken down into salts and in the urine within 20 minutes. And the next 20 hours is your body's overreaction response generating its own similar neurotransmitter. And once you learn how to control those things, you can play concerts. And that's where time travel starts. It's the next level of consciousness, like looking at everything on the physical plane and then seeing the next level as how you feel about it, your emotional plane. The emotional plane is where your mind, your higher self, your angel, your the part of you that you're not in touch with, communicates to you like time travel in the movie Interstellar, where he goes in and he starts in the library, picking a timeline in the library where he pushes books out to get his daughter's attention in the past, so to let her know he's still alive in the future. Now,
well, I remember the scene. I remember it well.
Okay, so that was a good image of how the Hall of Records, or you know, the Book of whatever, works. Karma.
But the Akashic record.
Akasha, all of it. The different centuries have different names for it. Where we're going is that when you do that chill, that is a light beam, literal, going up and down from the release of that neurotransmitter. It causes a standing wave to go up and down your spine that if you can so align your back, you can stimulate your pineal gland. Oh, go figure. That happens to be, oh, guess what? Light sensitive. And that's originally what that gland was for. Part of the brain was to regulate seasonal changes like Beltane and Samhain and solstices and equinoxes, having to do with light into darkness and those metaphors that allow us to evolve in structure. Now, I'm playing with these things as I did with biofeedback, and I made a discovery. And certain sacred geometries, if you envision them in your mind's eye, diamond body, face center cubic, hexagonal closed back structure, Necker cube of space, buckyball, you envision that in your mind's eye, and what happens next is you have Ezekiel's vision. And you are now having a tool that as you proceed in visual cortex of navigating that internal envisionment of geometry, you are in fact releasing specific neurotransmitters in a song. And that is the next level of awareness. And I can't articulate it. I'm just exploring it now and trying to write about it. Chapter 6 in my newest book that's going to press shortly is The Non-Local Mind in a Holographic Universe. It's titled Rock the Casimir or Adventures in Time Travel. It has to do with sound and dance and the movement forms that can change space-time. I am getting to a place now where my future is literally talking to me right now, and I'm dialoguing with you, and what it's doing is literally changing my past, which is a primary wave, the moment, the flow, that point when you were doing something and you didn't even notice because it was sacred time. And that place in physics is inside a cavitation ball. In fact, next century, I predict you will discover you have a doppelganger. At the opposite inner, what do they call that? Middle Earth, inner Earth into the out of. Alan Dean Foster. That's a good book to read. Check it out when you understand that what the cavitation is when a drop of water, your thought, because that's what's in the drop of water, by the way. This is how psyche goes into matter. When a drop of water comes down and hits a big pole, it slaps and another ball of water pops back up a little ways up. That is not actually a ball of water. What that is actually is an a thin layer of very special water, we'll call it exclusion zone water, that traps the medium that it's falling in this case, air. And that air inside that bubble is a torus topology. It's going into the out of it. It's a torus topology of going into the out of, like a black hole into a white hole, like Roger Penrose and Torus Twisted.
It's never ending. It just continues to feed itself and flush itself, feed itself and flush itself.
That is your basic generator. And then you add soul and spirit in matter, the mortal and the immortal part of self into the physics of a stew. And now you have two waves that happen. The first wave radiates outward. That is your future. And it's determined by timelines in terms of how you choose to by how big is the drop of water and how hard does it hit surface to cause the wave to go out a little differently than it might otherwise. However, that is the future, which is the secondary wave. The primary wave is when it slaps and the wave goes inward and slaps itself and forms this H3O2 water, traps the ball. And you see that on the leading edge of a wave in the ocean. That is where cold fusion occurs. In nature, right there in the nature of a wave and what is called the leading edge. And all of that work is out of MIT with Mark LeClaire. There is a movement now to even use water as our next computer chip because it's 1,000,000 more accurate than gallium arsenide, our current computer chip, gallium and arsenic, where that what's called forbidden zone.
Let me get, speak accurately. Most of our computer chips are made out of silicon, but the more advanced chips are made out of 3-5 compounds, which is what you're talking about, gallium arsenide, which I have more than a little bit of experience with.
That was what I did my master's at. Anyway, that's right. But the water, the exclusion zone. And what makes water so cool is that it is the smallest known molecule, not helium, smallest known molecule that has a dipole moment. It's that dipole moment that makes how water works as having memory and a type of structure to it. Now, water has two forms of it, para and ortho, one going in this way and the dipole moment going in that way. And they're reflected images, just like in the black hole, white hole, into the out of. Isn't that interesting? And so we talk about how this forms a bubble time captured in direct. That's what Robert Ornstein defined time as. He said it was a duration of consciousness. It's the way you store memory. Okay. Now, if you can get that place and learn or study, like I am trying to do, the release of these neurotransmitters, this is above the jhana states that are described in the Upanishads. And if I could give it to you in another metaphor, if you were to talk, everybody likes John Lennon and they talk about love is all there is. And love is, you know, you have four levels if you use a more efficient Greek form, eros, philo, agape, poema. But the Chinese have 12 forms of different kinds of love. However, only not one of them. Those 12 is for a love of a woman because it's a cultural thing. Now, love in that sense of it is a type of hierarchies of love. And the highest form in the Greek form was the love of will, telema or thelema. And that's why Crowley and all the occultists were out there, you know, working with that kind of metaphor in terms of discovery of purpose, getting contact with your holy guardian angel, you know, that kind of thing. However, above, love is what Persinger is now describing in brain states as bliss states. And bliss is a type of thing, rapture, that kind of thing, which is like in the first book I wrote on power tools, where I talked about John Curtis Gowan and the mystical state, you know, ontology of mystical states, where you had jhana states, J-H-A-N-T-A. These were cosmic consciousnesses, and there were, in the Upanishads, there were 8 of them, have jhana 8 in different levels of cosmic consciousness. Leary, others keyed off that, but Gowan was the bottom line on that one, and that's why I use his systems, because they, you know, put things into either proto or parataxic modes or syntactic modes of consciousness. The syntactic modes of consciousness have to do with the importance of sex magic, biofeedback, and having complete conscious control of directing the thought form, which is different than art states, which most people hang out in, and what we call parataxic, dealing with dreams and myth, modern myth, and so on, and the way they see metaphor of what's going on in their universe, the way they associate. This is all part of, came out of the 80s, the early 80s, and late 70s, with Dr. Charles Muses and the Journal for the Study of Consciousness before IONS existed. I had Muses with his hyperdimensional math at MIT. I was fortunate enough to study. He's still alive, by the way, up in Canada. He did hyperdimensional math, which now is different. It's string theory. And what I'm going to talk about will be more in what we call algebras. Clifford algebras, Klipphi and uses Gödel's forms of Ahn's algebra as algorithms that can group information so that it can accurately predict what you're going to do and where you're going to be and before you even know what you're going to do and be. That's what the Jade 2.0 software was about when they did the Jade-Helm experiments to shake down the accuracy. They're collecting data on how well that can profile an individual. And so now we have software that is now able to be used like Minority Report in New York City. They're using it to predict crimes across the country now in terms of knowing 28 minutes into the future. And if you run that into a burial in New York City to know where a crime's gonna happen before it happens, is an interesting tool, and puts us in a place of wonderment in terms of Agenda 21 and our right to bear arms. I am concerned because at our level of consciousness, none of us have a sense of true purpose. What we have is intent, and the choice that you have is you can do it kicking and screaming, or you can flow. But at the end of the day, what actually happens is what the whole thing's about. And that's called intent. And they now have software that's got you profiled before you even know what you're going to do. And that's why you now need, like hygiene, move to another level of awareness in terms of how you run about business. And when I'm saying that, this is where, with the next level of neurotransmitters I'm doing, I actually have a closer relationship to purpose than I do intent. And that's when I can be non-cybernetic.
Why don't you distinguish between the two, between intent and purpose? How are you delineating those two terms?
I can't even begin to say that in terms of words that I don't have yet.
So the language fails us. Okay, that's a good answer. That's a good answer.
Well, it isn't. Yeah, language is. It has not yet been that feeling, that sense, that awareness has not been described yet. Okay, they'll try to call it holons and Keshi stuff. They have different ways of approaching it. I'm going to talk about the Omega principle, the energy which patterns randomness, and that is another chapter.
Well, we'll be right back, and we'll pick this up where we left off, folks. Stick with us. We'll be right back in a couple of minutes more with Dr. Richard Alan Miller. Good evening and welcome back. This is Mike Harris broadcasting on www.veteranstoday.com, as well as www.freedomslips.com, Studio B, Revolution Radio. Today is Tuesday, January 12th, 2015, and my guest today is Dr. Richard Alan Miller. And over the break, I had someone send me an article of something called The Market Oracle. The topic says, shipping said to have ceased. is the worldwide economy grinding to a halt? Today's date, January 12, 2016, 7:25 a.m. Greenwich Mean Time. I think that's fascinating that Fulford had it first, which I give credit to Benjamin Fulford. And then I have another email from another listener saying, we need from Rick a grid down, number one, a plan, two, a reference library, three, a set of tools, four, a set of resources, and five, a sustainable lifeboat, a small community of similar belief people on semi-organic sustainable farms and retreats. Anyway, just tossing that out there. But Rick, you know, you were on a roll there. And I was really fascinated by the topic, but I'll give you the chance to change topics or to continue down the streak you were.
I don't care. I'm here at your pleasure. What would you like?
Well, let's continue down this. Let's give the next 15 minutes or so to the topic we were on. That is this esoteric topic about how the things that are in store as far as how the universe actually works and functions.
Yeah, I'm concerned that nobody is prepared. And so that you will be a secondary thought, that as it's happening, you'll figure it out. And that's where survival coefficient.
Well, Rick, you've got a good point. Either you'll figure it out or you'll perish, you'll die.
Yeah, and the problem is you should now have some kind of game plan immediately already in store that if the phones right this minute failed, where would you go first? And where would your girlfriend go, Susan? And where would your dogs be? And if they're not there, you have reasonable times to try to find out why. How would you do that? Well, that's what you should always have is a plan so that if everything stopped electrical, the grid collapses, that you have, you know, that could be a weapon, you know, like an EMP spike up in the atmosphere. You put it up high enough, you can take the whole United States out.
Oh, I know. It's a 50-mile is the critical altitude for a relatively small one, 10 kiloton.
So that's how the Santa Barbara movie will play that Petraea Patrick put together on, you know, Black Start and Offline. Those two movies in 2014 and 2015 had congressmen and people like Matt Stein in it, talking about how it's going to play and how it's going to go down. And then we're going to do that in part with a large City of Hollywood three-day event at the Hollywood's Forever Cemetery in March, March 18th through 20th. And the 18th will be open to the public for a free-day seminar. And then that night there'll be showings of both movies to show you how the grid's going to collapse like it did in Santa Barbara. And then Saturday, Matt will do his workshop. And then Saturday night will be another showing of the movies. And then Sunday, I will do how to think from the gut, like I train Navy SEALs. And there'll be DVDs and things like that. It'll come out of it, we hope. I'm going to start a few Barnes & Noble movements in Medford, Reading, and working down the coast, getting people repped for the West Coast. There is a movie everybody might like to check out. I found it was a wonderful movie. It takes place in 2025 in the free state of Jefferson. It's called Black Road. And it's a low budget science fiction with some time travel. Imagine that.
Where does one access this movie?
Well, it was in Grants Pass a few weeks ago.
Oh, it was? Okay.
Yeah, so it's out there. You can probably get it on Hulu or, you know, one of the usual suspects. You can rent it probably.
Well, I'd like to go see it, but I have to bring one of my other girlfriends.
There so, you go. Yeah, you know, that's a creepy movie, too. It's called Black Road, and it takes place in the free state of Jefferson. You know, Ernest Kallenbeck, in his very famous book, Ecotopia, wrote about how Washington, Oregon, and California seceded from the Union in 1984. And then the book that was written before 1984, by the way, and 1984, and then opens their doors to show people how they live differently than the United States. in 1999. It was called Ecotopia, and they had bicycles, just like you do in Amsterdam.
Well, there's the other book, a series of books out there by Harold Covington about the Northwest, what did he call it? Where the entire Northwest breaks away from the U.S. and what it does to survive and to evolve itself away from the rest.
Oh,
of,
yeah, that book, The Postman. How about
not The Postman. We're talking Freedom Sons, A Mighty Fortress. He's got a series of five books out about this, about how it's something called the Northwest Front. And how they form a Northwest Republic that is independent of the U.S. And it's everything north of Reading up into to B.C. and as far west as I think it's the I-15. Far east is the I-15. I think it is. I'd have to go back and check, but no, it's a good chunk of soil, and it's an interesting set of books. They're fun. They're action adventure. They're romance. They're spy novels. They're fighting. They're all. And I got a train going by.
So there's another set that came out after Ecotopia by Michael Tobias. That was Ernest Callenbach. The next guy was called Voice of the Planet. And it was made by, and PBS made 9 videos with Meryl Streep and William Shatner on futurologist guy that goes to Tibet to talk to a supercomputer. And he's an ecologist, ecology. It's about ecology and the white snow leopard. And Voice of the Planet has some tools in it on what we need to do to recover the earth. And that's what that book was written about. It's on ecologies and the green movement that we're not doing.
Well, let me ask you a question of if you could prioritize, what are your top, let's say, 5 concerns that you have right now? I mean, what are the top 5 things that if you were going to keep you up worrying at night, what would you be worrying about? What are your top 5?
Infiltration of the peacekeepers and the militias by who knows what. Infiltration, like they do.
And then that's how they co-opted the Tea Party.
Well, there it is.
I wrote an article on that. I wrote an article that on Veterans Today about that, how the Tea Party movement can protect itself, and the big money, the Koch brothers came in, and next thing you know, you got Sarah Palin out in front and the Tea Party Express, and they're putting millions on it, and they stole the movement.
Well, that's what do you know how many emails I get every day from Donald Trump? That's crazy. And really, our president is supposed to represent our finest and most educated. And when you realize that a fait accompli, Hillary Clinton, the only reason she's not in federal prison right now is because she's running for president.
Well, there is a lot of talk right now where the FBI director is ready to resign, as well as hundreds of agents, if they do not indict her.
That would be, I'd like to see that happen, because if she had, and basically they've already hired Washington, D.C. Jimmy Carter came out in ARP, in an interview in ARP 3 months ago, and said Washington, D.C. is for sale. Said it in ARP magazine.
Well, it has been. It has been for a long time. And, Rick, you look at our whole political process, this Citizens United decision by the Supreme Court was a disaster. But before that, you look at McCain-Feingold. I mean, it used to be, if you were a congressman from Iowa, you had to raise your money in Iowa. Now, if you're a congressman from Iowa, you can go anywhere in the country and raise money.
Yeah, here's the problem we have, is that BLM is now working for China. That's our national debt thing. That's what happened down at the Bundy Ranch. China trying to take over utilities. They've already done it all the way through Canada. And now they're trying to move in here, and it's already known they own 50% of Grants Pass, Oregon, the timber. And let me say this, Bundy Ranch is not Burns, Oregon. And why those people came up here, the American Indian that's out there on that tribal land right now said, stand in line. Because if they think it was ripped off from the whites, what do you think the whites did to the Indian? And basically, that's the play. That's the play that's happening right now at Auburn. And my guess is, I don't know. I don't want to even go there.
Let's talk about the BLM, because you're talking about the burned Oregon thing.
Well, BLM is now, I'm guessing most of their upper management should be offered early retirement or prison. And just like they did the Forest Service about 10 years ago. I watched how the USDA, we went after the Forest Service for early retirement, and all those people that retired rather than going to prison, then there was a rush in the middle guard of females, and it's just, Forest Service is just as corrupt as it ever was. It's terrible. Here is your key out. If there is a little known law that if your national resources have not been in front of a federal judge, the local population can take over management and control of their natural resources. It's a Rampurian law, water law, that goes back like maritime law as opposed to regular law. Posse comitatus. Here we are. You can take possession, and they've done it in the Sierra Madres and that place over up in Shiprock, New Mexico. Now, there's ways to do this that taxes. What is that about? If you don't pay your taxes, they have no money, which means your roads don't get fixed. Fine. They go broke. And that's when you close it down. And that's when Kucinich said the United States will fragment into 9 probably basic provinces based on differences between the federal and state groupings. To be like, for example, in Oregon right now, it's legal to grow marijuana. And you can recreational, but you can't bank that money in a national bank because it's federal. It's against the law. The bank can't take the money. And so now we have a possibility. A friend of mine out on Thompson Creek farmed up ebarter.net. That's where we're going to go on that. He does Las Vegas. Listen, I think there's a possibility that we need to fragment down and go back to barter. Greece is already doing that, and so is Portugal.
Well, that's a whole other discussion that we can save for another day, and that is what alternatives to currency do we have, and how do we create alternate currencies once this fiat Federal Reserve note is not good enough to buy toilet paper, you know?
Well, I would say that money, as it is a theatrical prop, and what's real is labor.
Well, that's always been the case, that's always been the struggle between what they call capital and labor. Karl Marx was right, and money is a prop. It's a tool. It's an abstract. It's not real.
Yeah, Cornell has a thing where they give their I participated in it. They give their graduate students chits, local chits that are used in local stores to buy your books, clothing, and food for the work you do on campus. Now, these concepts are now actually operational in different universities. They're working that way. Cornell is really up in upstate New York. I think what they're doing is smart. It's called the Cornell dollar or something like that. I forget what it's called. What I'm going to try to do is a whole different level where we start with children, because I figure the last...
Rick, you know, let's stay on the point.
Oh,
where
I am.
It doesn't have to be a Cornell dollar. It could be a Grand Pass, Oregon dollar. that if you've got people up in Grants Pass and they're out of work, and somebody needs to pick up the trash on the highway or fix the overhead stoplight or something, hey, they can do that, and they can go to a store and they can exchange their work chits in exchange for, you know, goods, services, and food, whatever. That's an excellent set of concepts there.
Yeah, but the bad part is, how did they get that store to go get goods that didn't get manufactured, made, grown, or otherwise spindled in the local community?
Well, now that is where we come full circle, because
the
outsourcing model and offshoring model is proven to be a disaster for the American economy. This is, I mean, I'm going to tell you, these free trade agreements, these have been an unmitigated disaster for the American worker. And the people have lost jobs, they've lost money, they've lost their homes. I'm one of them. They offshored my entire industry. I lost my house, lost my car, lost everything. I got cleaned out. And yeah.
I know that song.
Then you look at the other pressure on the American worker, and that is this uninhibited immigration, legal and illegal. The American people, we don't want these people here. We never have. But these globalists, a.k.a. the Khazarian Mafia, are the ones who want the open borders, and they want global trade. They want to own the whole enchilada. And
it's
they don't
a transnational corporation. It's beyond countries. And yes, that's what they're doing.
Well, it's not a corporation. It's a transnational, transgenerational criminal organization is what it is. And it's been running loose on this planet for a long time. And if the financial system, this Federal Reserve-based Rothschild financial system is what has enabled it to function all of these years. And if the markets do crash, if Japan does indeed join the AIIB, and the oil prices do indeed go down to $15 a barrel, as Preston James and I had discussed last year in the article on VT, these banks cannot sustain themselves. And that's why they're not letting money loose. They're hanging on to every penny they can get. They're not allowing wires to go from one. If it goes out of their system into another bank system, they don't want to let it go. They want to hang on to it.
I have a friend that actually has an antique button with Ford Motor Company on it with a swastika. And you know, war is good for business. And it's like a couple of three or four old men sending 100,000 young men off to die, as there's too many people to control on Earth. That is what is now about to happen. They will try to put a war on us. I'm concerned.
Well, Rick, let me say this about it. There's already a war going on.
Well,
there already is. I mean, I've been in Syria twice in the past year.
There's
a war going on.
And what's Nigeria about? And Uganda, and it's also Muslim. And what is that about?
It's about the same things, and you have to realize that the principles behind ISIS, behind Daesh, behind al-Nusra, are the same principles who are behind Boko Haram. Okay. You have to watch the thing to look for. I discussed this at length with the general staff of the Syrian army, the minister of justice, the grand mufti, who is their top religious leader in Syria, and their chief of intelligence. And that is the people who provide the material support are your enemies. The jihadis on the ground, they'll go out of business in 2 weeks if you cut off the flow of money. And yeah. so we had the discussion with the Syrian Minister of Justice, with the Russian delegation there, about interdicting and stopping the flow of stolen goods, in this case oil, because that's what is providing with the currency, oil and artifacts. So what do you do? All right, I left Syria. I was back in the U.S. on September 27th. On September 28th, the Russians began bombing ISIS, and one of their main targets was to stop the oil tankers. And then you trace those oil tankers back. Where do they come from? Well, they were shipped out of the port of Galveston, and they were purchased by a group called Vanguard Group, which has got strong Bush family ties to it. So, you know, the whole thing, this whole thing stinks. And this criminal
Saudi
organization
versus Iran, or
well, you know, that you know, Saudi Arabia is trying to pick a fight with Iran, so that they have more turmoil in the Middle East. Two big oil producing countries. Oh, gee, we can't get oil from there anymore, so the price is going to go from, you know, $2.06 going to go up to $4.29 again. That's what they're trying to do. They're not making enough margin selling oil at the prices they're getting it. They like the higher prices. They don't want people to have a penny left in their pocket. That's what their end game is. And that's why we suggested, Preston James and I, in our paper that we wrote, put up on VT, to drop the price of oil to $15 a barrel, to break the banks. The banks don't, our federal government does not have the wherewithal to bail out the banks a second time. Okay.
Yep.
This time the banks must fail. Now, the good news is we have a process. It's called bankruptcy. And when a business fails, it goes into receivership. And the people who made the mess don't get to continue to mess things up. Somebody else comes in with a cooler head and they'll sell it off. And these big banks are too big to fail, need to be made into 1,000 little banks or other businesses. And, you know, we got led down the garden path in 2007 and 8 with the whole bailout. That was the worst thing we could have done. We should have allowed those banks to go bankrupt and stopped the problem then, because we wouldn't be having these problems now.
I have concern with Israeli and Yemen and Gaza and oil. And I think that this is causing global changes now. I don't know if you heard about what happened in Stockton. There was a fire in a refuge pile. And what happened next is it caught over, like it might now in Missouri, where it caught over into a unknown stash of nuclear waste that blew cans in the air.
Mm-hmm.
You read about that?
No, not in Stockton. I've been following the one in St. Louis, though.
Yeah, well, there's one in Stockton, California that they couldn't put out for a while. All of this is crazy making because of greed. And I think that it's time we go back to basic values again. And I think that there's a need for the family again, that schools are completely inequipped, and not why our education has dropped so poorly. And, if, you know,
Rick, I got to blame some of our educational results not on, I don't like the education system, but I also blame it on the changing demographics. If you go back to 1965, before the Immigration Reform Act of 65, 93% of this country was white. We were ranked number 3 in the world in intellect, tied with Japan. We did really, really well. And ever since they changed that law, it's been a flood of black and brown people coming in. White people don't move here anymore. They don't come to the U.S. The immigration laws don't allow for it. And I blame it on the changing demographics. And is the reason for why the educational system is so overstressed and burdened. It's not like we don't spend enough money on it. And this new moron that Obama put up to head the Department of Education, promoting his core, Common Core, Common Core.
Yeah.
Jeez Louise. I mean, you know, we keep lowering the bar and we keep spending more money to educate the least capable.
You know, okay. I'm 72.
No, listen, let me finish my point. We spend a lot of money to educate the least capable, where the most capable get shorted. We've got our spending priorities wrong. If we were a business, we'd put a cap on how much we spend. If you don't make the grade, if you can't, you know, do math and English past the eighth grade level, we stop educating at eighth grade. You better pass it to get into high school so we spend more money on you. And, you know, there shouldn't be a limit on how much money we spend to educate and develop our best and brightest minds. But that's not how we work. We go back because there's so many more stupid people than there are smart people. We want to spend to buy votes, to buy influence, to buy political power. They make all this big deal. Well, I'm sorry. You can't. If somebody's got a low IQ, you can't train them to be a PhD. Anyway, that's my piece. I'm sorry to cut you off there, Rick. But
no, it's fine.
All right, it sounds like we're out of time here. So, folks, thank you for joining us. I really appreciate it. And, Rick, thank you for joining us as well. Bye-bye. Bye.